anyway, back in New Zealand, I'd been a couple of years in the depot. I wasn't really a maintenance person. I was more an installer, you know, get out, fix things and so on. But anyway, improved some of their maintenance techniques quite a bit. And I went to work one morning and they're all grouped round together in a group. And I said, come on, you guys, why aren't you working? And the centre of attention was an advert for staff at Kooby Creek. And I looked at it and I thought, oh, that's interesting. And I went home and I said to Verena and Cheryl, I said, how would you like to go to Australia? Oh, yes, let's go. And I thought, oh. Yeah, so anyway, we started doing a bit of research about Toowoomba and so on. It seemed like a reasonable place to go. And AWA were the people who had the contract. And I knew the manager of AWA in Wellington. I'd done odd works with him and, you know, talked to him occasionally. So anyway, I put in the application and it went over and he rang me up about a week later. He said, what are you doing on Friday? I said, I'll be here at work. He said, no, you won't. I've got plane tickets here to Sydney. You go for an interview and you're back on Saturday. And I said, well, can't you make it Sunday? And he says, no, we've got the tickets. So overnight bag, technician, hops on the plane, gets the other end, checking with toothpaste, everything out of the bag, technician, overnight bag. What's he do? Diamonds were the go.
Oh, right.
So they were looking for diamonds. They didn't find any, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So anyway,
home,
I had the interview. It was a pretty full-on one, but it was a different one. I had a sheet this long of questions, and I interviewed them. they had information on my background from the post office, of course, so they were pretty happy with what they saw. They wanted communications people, there weren't too many around. So anyway, I had all these questions, and they answered most of them, seemed satisfactorily. And the pay was good. It was double what I was getting in New Zealand. Mm. So I accepted the job. And then Lee said, well, you fly from New Zealand to Brevard. Well, I heard in the interview this name called Brevard, and I wrote down what I thought it was.
Oh, right, yes.
And I didn't ask him again. And they said, you go there for training. So I thought, okay, that's fine. They wanted me there as soon as possible. So I had to get special leave from the post office. And to get special leave in a week is unheard of. Anyway, I went back to my boss, who was a very nice, Dick Cole, very nice guy. And he'd been overseas, as an engineer, and he'd done overseas. And he says, oh, this is a wonderful opportunity. Oh, yeah, we've got to get you into this. He's my boss.
Very nice man.
You're not saying, oh, I can't live without you. No, we've got to do this. And the director general at this time was the chief engineer that didn't like technicians, the same guy. He said, look, if we word this right, and he spelt the letter out. Hmm. He said, if you go to Australia, you only get 3 months. If you go to America, you get a year. So say you're going to America and then on to Australia. So he got me a year's special leave, and I had it by the end of the week. And the AWA manager got my passport and visa and everything in a week, which was also unheard of. And I'm sitting there, and he was getting a bit concerned that nothing was happening. The problem was that it was a top security clearance. Because I was in New Zealand, it made it difficult. And anyway, I'd resigned. I got special leave from the post office. I was getting leave pay, which I had owing to me. AWA started paying me from that day, so I was getting two lots of pay, and I was working on the house, finishing it off. Spent a couple of weeks doing that, and eventually the clearance came through, and I hop on a 707 and fly up to LA and across to Atlanta, and in the middle of the Pacific Ocean somewhere, and I thought, I don't even know where I'm going. What have I let myself in for, you know? And so anyway, I get on the, get through customs all right, get onto the plane to go across to Atlanta, and some of the, would it be Vietnam then?
Yeah, Vietnam.
Yes, it was Vietnam. Well, a lot of Vietnam, well, not a lot, there was half a dozen or so. That's all there were in the, I was in the in the front class, you know, the business class. And they were down back down there, and the hosties were chatting them up. And so, there's nobody to talk to, and they come up every now and you're right, sir, yes. So anyway, we fly across to Atlanta, and it's all clouded in. You can't see a thing. You see little bobbles in the cloud, I guess, where hills were. So we flew around for about 3/4 of an hour. And then eventually they went down, down and down and down and down. I thought, oh, I hope they know where they're going. I'm looking out my window, and there was a fence with a gate in it. And there was a guy with a car. He just stopped to open the gate, and he looked up. If I'd have known him, I could have recognised him. It was that close.
Yeah.
And I thought, gee. And then the end of the runway came up, and they made a perfect landing on the runway. Yeah. I discovered later that they had 5... landing aids there, which they were testing out, so they were landing in blind. Then we get on little Mickey Mouse airline that flew up the coast to Asheville in North Carolina. Yeah. And so anyway, we're flying up on this thing. It was hot. Oh, it was stuck on the ground. It turned out the captain had a hangover. He was about half an hour late, and they had us all in there, and it was about 35 or something. High humidity, and oh, it was terrible. Anyway, eventually took off. It was all right then. We're flying up, and I see a couple of what looked like 85-foot antennas, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. Maybe that's them. So I didn't know at that stage. Anyway, Asheville is cut out of trees. The airport, there's trees all around it. You can see the city about, I don't know, 3 or 4 miles away. And we went down and landed, and I thought, oh, well, who do I see now? I had no contacts or anything. So I thought, oh, well, I'll wait till everybody goes and the ones left for me. Everybody went. There's none left for me.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, what do I do now? Rosman, R-O-S-M-A-N, I think. That's what I wrote down. It was just in the interview it happened to be mentioned. And so I thought, well, I'll see if I can get on to him. So I got onto the phone and I got this lass with a southern drawl, and the angry alligator had just orbited. So, you know, it was all news. And I said, I'm trying to get in touch with a tracking station. How? Oh, what's a tracking station? NASA, N-A-S-A, never heard of them. I said, really?
It's amazing, oh, isn't it?
You haven't, things orbiting? No, anything about that. Said, hang on, my supervisor might know something. I'll go get my supervisor, I'll ring you back. So about 5 minutes later, supervisor rings me up and said, oh yes, there's a station up in the hills, Rosman. I'll get on to them and see what they can do. So anyway, I got on to them, and it was Saturday morning. I didn't know where the other people in the course were staying. I had no idea. They were in Brevard, but they're in a motel. And it turned out that they were at a training course Saturday morning, so they wouldn't have been any help anyway. Mm. So the shift supervisor comes on the phone, and I explained the situation. He said, the best thing I can do is I'll send the ute down, and he can pick you up and drop you off at the motel. And I said, okay, thanks. So the ute duly arrived. It was, you know, it was a fair way. It was, I don't know, 40-50 K. And anyway, it was a young lad. I tried to strike up a conversation with him. He obviously was put out because he had to come and pick me up. He didn't want anything to do with me. I thought, oh, okay, I'll just observe the scenery, which side of the road you drive on, all the rest of it, you know, the signs, which I did. Anyway, he dropped me off at the motel, and the manager said, oh, we were expecting you, but we didn't know when you were coming. I hadn't told them. So he said, "Oh, go and make yourself comfortable. The other boys are at a training. They'll be back shortly." So I went and sat, got a drink and sat out by the pool in the sun. And eventually these guys turn up with books under their arm, and I said, "Oh, well, they look like the right ones." So introduced them. "How did you get here? We're wondering when you're coming. Nobody told us." So that was quite an experience, flying off into the wide blue yonder, not going where you're going. But the course was good, and it was about 6 weeks, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was a long time.
It was 2 months, I think. I missed the first 2 weeks of it because of the security problems.